जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना बल्लवा गिरी बन द्वारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना बल्लवा गिरी बन द्वारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन नारंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन नारंजन यमुना तेरा बन चरी यमुना तेरा बन चरी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लव गिरी बन द्वारी यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन नारंजन यमुना तेरा बन चरी जय राधे श्याम राधे श्याम राधे श्याम जय
Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Sukaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Gita Govardhan Ki Jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Sri Kaliya Krishna Das Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Thank you. Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The greatest fear of every Bhagavatam speaker is to look down at the Sanskrit you have in your notes and then look up and see that there's a different verse on the board. Fortunately, that's not the case today. reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 10th chapter, text number 7. Utseva hastina pure. Masan kati payan hari. Surhidam chavishokaya. Svasus cha priya kamyaya. Utseva hastina pure. Mashan kati payan hari. Sudhridam cha vishokaya. Svasus cha priya kamyaya. Usitva hastina pure. Mashan kati payan hari. Sudhridam cha vishokaya. Svasus cha priya kamyaya. Please chant. Usitva, staying. Hastinapure. In the city of Hastinapura. Masam. Months. Katipayan. A few. Hari. Lord Sri Krishna. Sudridam. Relatives. Cha. Also. Vishokaya. For pacifying them. Svasu, the sister, cha, and priya kamyaya, for pleasing. A couple of Sanskrit words here that caught my attention. Someone has asked, so how long are you going to be staying around? Masan kamyayan, masa katipayan, for a few months. That's very, a few months, oh, okay. That's nice. That's a good long period of time. And then the other word, sudridam. Sudridam, we recognize this word from the Bhagavad Gita. Generally, it's referred to as friends. Here, it's also used in the terms of relatives, indicating the relatives are also the friends, or should be. Of course, in Kali Yuga, as we know from the Bhagavatam, that's not always the case. But staying with the friends or the relatives, staying with the family for a few months. Some of us have had this fortune of having relatives stay with us like that. So. Translation. Sri Hari, Lord Sri Krishna, resided at Hastinapur for a few months to pacify his relatives and please his own sister, Subhadra. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Krishna was to start for Dwarka, his own kingdom, after the battle of Kurukshetra and Yudhisthira's being enthroned. But to oblige the request of Maharaj Yudhisthira and to show special mercy to Bhishma Dev, Lord Krishna stopped at Hastinapur, the capital of the Pandavas. The Lord decided to stay, especially to pacify the aggrieved king, as well as to please Subhadra, the sister of Lord Sri Krishna. Subhadra was especially to be pacified because she had lost her only son, Abhimanyu, who was just married. The boy left his wife, Uttara, mother of Maharaj Parikshit. The Lord is always pleased to satisfy his devotees in any capacity. Only his devotees can play the parts of his relatives. The Lord is absolute. Om jnana tamadandasya jananjana shalakaya chaksuhun minitam yinatasmai sri guruve namaha mukam karoti vachalam pandum lam jayate girin yakripatamaham bande sri guruve dini tarina vanchakalpatiludhischa kripa sindhu vahevacha patitinam pavinevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakti Manda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune, and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste nectar, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the lecture that Srila Prabhupada gives on this verse, he starts right out, just right off the point, with what I consider to be the most important point of this verse. Namely, that God is a person. This is the highlight that Prabhupada's focusing on here. In the summer of 1973 in Mayapur, Prabhupada quotes in this verse, and he explains the following. So we are personalists. We believe, no, not believe, not a question of belief, it is an actual fact that the ultimate truth, the absolute, is a person. That is the statement of Srila Vyasadeva. Vedanti tat tatva vidas, tatvam yaj jnanam avadyam, brahmeti paramateti, bhagavan eti sabdhate. Tatva vit, those who are in knowledge of the tatva, or the absolute truth, they know that ultimately the absolute truth is manifest as a person like you, like me. Not exactly like you, like me, but so far as personality is concerned, individuality is concerned, he is like us. In the Bible, it is said man is made after God. Because God is a person, therefore we are a person. Otherwise, wherefrom our personality comes? God is the origin of everything. Therefore, he is the origin of personality, of individuality. Otherwise, how are we a person? How are we an individual? Where do we get this personality, individuality from? So the foremost feature of the absolute truth is a person. And as a person, he has got the same feelings as we have got. As we have got feelings for our relatives, for our brothers, for our sisters, for our friends, for our enemies, the same thing is there also in the absolute truth. So Prabhupada stresses on this. He continues, if you study your personality and your friend's personality, you can get a rough idea of the Supreme Personality, because our personality is dependent on the Supreme Personality. So Prabhupada makes a very interesting point in this explanation of this verse that we're reading today, namely that we are as we are because we're a reflection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, you know, sometimes people take that to the infinite understanding of that, well, I'm God. And this is the source of impersonalism. But no, Prabhupada adds the caveat here not exactly like God. So this is a clear understanding. Of course, Prabhupada uses that wonderful example, any of us that have done any preaching to personalities that are not in our community, we always use this example of the ocean. A drop of the ocean has the same qualities as the ocean, salty, wet, etc., but not the same quantity. So in that same way, we have the qualities of the Supreme Personality by having a personality, by having likes, by having dislikes. You know, certain foods that we like, certain foods Krishna likes more than others. Krishna's very fond of yogurt. You know, Krishna's very fond of butter. And very fond of rasgullas and gulab jamuns and so forth. So, in this way, Krishna has his preferences. You know, I remember many, many years ago there was a television show called Lou Grant, and it dealt with a news broadcast room or a publishing paper, something like that. And one of the character's sons had become a devotee, and so some friends of him encouraged that he should have the boy deprogrammed. And so this was a whole thing about, it was actually an anti-deprogramming presentation. In the end, it was very successful. But at any rate, the father comes to visit the son at the Los Angeles temple, and the son gives him a plate of prasadam. And on that plate is a nice shukta, nice bitter melon vegetable. And the son explains, oh, that might be an acquired taste. So those of you that know what bitter melon is, not many devotees even like it. In fact, many devotees don't like it. But if you take bitter melon and you slice it ever so thin and fry it just at the correct temperature and put some nice salt and lemon on it, it is the tastiest thing you will ever find. And if you get someone that knows how to prepare it nicely in a sabji and it's chunked up and cooked properly, then very, very tasty. But not everyone can appreciate the taste. When my Giriraj is finished with his breakfast each morning, I offer him an interesting collection of tambu. There's one very nice, I'm not paid for this advertisement, but there's one very nice shop in Jaipur called J.D. Supartiwala. And that little shop is, half the size of the altar there. So many different delicacies are in there. Of course, Supari is there, but I don't buy that. There's, for instance, dates soaked in sugar water and covered, soaked in rose water and covered in silver. And different types of anise, and all these different varieties. So I get a combination of those and shake them all up, and then I offer that to Giriraj each morning. And then the prasad is there. Now, a number of devotees, I've shared this with some of them. I know of three or four that regularly come to me for this prasad because it's so wonderful. It's like an explosion of tastes in your mouth. But other devotees, like my wife, for instance, they don't like this at all. No, this isn't very tasty. So everyone has their different personality because Krishna has his different personality. Not everyone will be happy to eat banana peels. If I invite you to my home and then I take a banana and put it on the side and put the peel on a plate here, Prabhu, please enjoy some nice prasad. What? I thought you were my friend. I came here hungry. You know? So that's not so tasty. But when Vidura offered that to Krishna, and very happily, oh yes, okay, my devotee is in such ecstasy, he's not realizing he's giving me the banana peel. All right, I'll take that. No problem. Oh, very tasty. Whether he actually ate it or not, that part we don't know. But at any rate, very much like that, he's very satisfied in this way to accept whatever is offered by the devotee. So in the same way, we can understand, as Prabhupada says, that we have these different likes and dislikes because, not and also, but because Krishna has them. It's not that we have likes and dislikes. Krishna's also got likes and dislikes, so we're similar. No, they're present in us because they're present in the original form, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are a copy, so to speak, and a not very sufficient copy of that. So this, Prabhupada stresses, because it enforces the idea of personalism as opposed to impersonalism. And this is a major point that Prabhupada always stressed. God is personal. He is not impersonal. So much so was this important to Srila Prabhupada, so much so was this an essential factor of his preaching, that it is in his pranam mantras. We all know Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gaudavani Pacharini, Nirvisesha Sunyavadi. So out of our respectful obeisances unto you, O spiritual master, servant of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami, you are kindly preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya Dev and delivering the Western countries which are filled with impersonalism and voidism. Prabhupada strongly spoke against this. This was his mood to destroy this impersonalism, this voidism. And when he would see it manifest, he would rally against it. Like in the early days, there was that misunderstanding of Prabhupada being Krishna and some sannyasis preaching this and, you know, so on like that. All these, Prabhupada was very strong and banned those sannyasis until they became corrected. So this impersonalism is a necessity. It has to be rooted out of our system. By understanding the personal nature of God, then we can appreciate reciprocating with each other in a personal way. So it's no surprise that Prabhupada makes this point here. The verse itself, it deals with a personal feeling. Empathy. Love for the family members. This is very clear there, as I said from the Sanskrit word, sudhidam, relatives. Happily, kamyaya, satisfying them. Kama, everybody's got kama, everybody's got so many desires to be satisfied. But here, Krishna is satisfying the desires of the family members, which is to have his association. For how long? Masan Katiyana. A few months. You know, if I get to go to Vrindavan and I'm told I can stay for a few months, I'm going to be over the moon. I usually get to stay 4 or 5 weeks. You know, if you can stay a few months in Vrindavan. You can go to Govardhan for a month or two and then come to Vrindavan for a month and be so happy. So the purport states that this is one of the reasons to satisfy the family members. Now, one of those particular reasons, we know from this chapter and the previous chapter, is to satisfy Bhishma Dev. Now, one could assume, that after the passing of Bhishma Dev, after Lord Krishna had dealt with that, he would now move on to Dwarka. This is the progressive direction of his Leela. Now he's going to go to Dwarka, the seat of the next phase of his divine pastimes. But we see he has his own plan, his own agenda in this regards. He's staying in Hastinapur longer. Why? Simply to pacify, this is an important word here, pacify the relatives, and in particular his sister. The indication of the word pacify means that there's some distress, some difficulty, some angst. And so to attempt to pacify that, to do something to soothe that, to heal that, is his intention. This also indicates a personality, someone who's caring, someone who's loving. Let them suffer. Anyway, it's not my business. I've got nothing to do with it. That type of callous mentality shows no loving feelings. Here we see just the opposite in the exchange that Krishna has with his family members. So, you know, sometimes, as immature devotees, family members, not so important, you know, I'll just reject everyone, blah, 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 like that. Not a proper understanding. I've told this story many times. I was very fortunate as a brahmachari that our temple president was a very thoughtful leader, very thoughtful individual. I remember on Father's Day, Mother's Day, all the brahmacharis would be lined up at the phone to call their parents. Happy Mother's Day, happy Father's Day. You know, this was unheard of. No, you reject your parents. They're useless karmis, nonsense. No. Prabhupada didn't take that attitude when Brahmananda and Garga Muni joined. Now you offer respects to your mother. No, bow down and offer obeisances. She is giving you birth and brought you to being a devotee. So, in this way, we see this personal reciprocal exchange. This sentence in this verse here, this particular poem, this indicates a personal feature of the Lord. So how it is one can read any part of the Bhagavad, particularly this beginning canto, and contrive some idea of impersonalism is not possible. The Lord is conscious of, is intent on the well-being of his family members. But the second part of this is even more important, specifically the well-being of his sister, as mentioned in this verse, Subhadra. One can only have a sister if there's a family, if there's a personal relationship. Here again, this point is driven home in this verse so nicely. So even if we set aside the Shastric verse on the supreme Bhagavan authority, as Vyasadeva gives, which Prabhupada quoted above there, we have the statement here that clearly shows the personal nature of the Lord, that he does this, he's doing this activity to please his sister. Now, this is, of course, the duty of the older brother, especially in this historical time period. Nowadays, family members are so separated, it's one of the shortcomings of Kali Yuga, that families don't stay together, that, you know, there's difficulty, even hatred amongst family members, so on like this. But particularly at this time, the older brother was responsible to look after the well-being, both mental and physical, of his sister. For instance, on Balaram Jayanti, we have this ceremony that's observed, Rakhi Bandha. And it's mentioned that this is a day when the sisters, they tie a little bracelet, an amulet, a talisman of some sort, maybe something in a little pouch with some well wishes, you know, symbolically around the arm of the brother, so that he will protect them. Some gifts are exchanged, and this invests the brother with a share of the responsibility for taking care of his sister, for looking after her. Sweets are fed to the brother, and in this way, some loving exchange, binding the two together, so that the brother will take a responsibility for the well-being of the sister. And while this isn't exactly a Vaishnava samskara, we don't see this mentioned in the different samskaras of the Goswamis that are given in Hari Bhakta Vilas, but it does have its history in the Puranas. In the Bhavishya Purana, the Uttara Pava, text number 137, the following description is given here, that Lord Krishna is describing to Yudhishthira the ritual of this raksha, of this protection that's tied to the wrist by the royal priest, the Purohit. The Raj Purohit, the royal priest, not just the Purohit. You might have so many Purohits, but you have a Raj Purohit, the priest of the royal family, on a Purnima day. And Lord Krishna gives the following instruction on this. When the sky is covered with clouds and the earth dark with new tender grass, in the very Shravana month, on a full moon day, at the time of sunrise, according to the noted convention, a Brahmin should take a bath with perfectly pure water. He should also, according to his ability, offer libations of water to the paternal ancestors, to the gods, as described by the Vedas, for the task required to be accomplished before the study of the Vedas, to the sages, and as directed to carry out and bring the satisfactory conclusion of the various ceremonies. It is concluded that a Shudra should also make a charitable offering and take bath accompanied by the mantras. That very day in the early afternoon, between noon and 3 p.m., it is commended that a small parcel, a bundle or a packet, be prepared from new cotton or silk cloth and adorned with whole grains of rice, barley, small mustard seeds, kumkum, and other exceedingly wondrous items, and placed in a receptacle. This packet should then be bound on the king's wrist with the words, "I am binding raksha, protection, to you with these two words. Always stay firm in this resolve." Now, those of you that are familiar with the performance of different types of homas and jagas, samskaras, at the beginning, sankalpa is taken. Part of that sankalpa is to tie the string onto the priest, onto the yajamanas, onto the performer's arm, taking a vow to perform this ceremony, to be safe during this ceremony, and to conclude this ceremony. So this is the origin of what we now know as Rakhi Bandha. And this is the nature of the personal relationship between the brother and sister, exemplified here in the relationship between Krishna and Subhadra. So this is the origin of one who cares for or gives protection to another. And here again, this can only be executed when there is a personal relationship, when there is some care, some love, some concern for the other person. And this is what we see very clearly here in the actions of Krishna. All right, I was planning to go here, but due to the anxiety and distress of my sister, I'll stay and comfort her. I stayed and comforted Yudhishthira. I stayed and comforted Bhishma. So now I'll stay and comfort him. So if we take a moment and just look at the situation of Subhadra, I think we can understand very easily how important it was and how much it was needed. She's a grandmother. We have several grandmothers in this community. She had lost her only son. You're a grandmother, you have one child, a boy, and you lose him in the great battle. And the daughter-in-law of that son was threatened with death by the Brahmastra weapon, as well as the child in her womb. The very lineage of Abhimanyu was almost killed, yet all of them were saved by the intervention of Lord Krishna. So certainly, she's feeling great calm and protection under her brother's care. So much, I mean, if we just, we can imagine the difficulty that she was experiencing mentally as a grandmother, as a mother, you know, and the relief she would feel that Krishna stepped in and protected him. So to further this peaceful state of mind of Subhadra, Krishna decides to stay a little longer, you know, just to kind of keep her happy. Grandmothers have a special kind of bond, you can say, and a special connection to their grandchildren. What was it Prabhupada said? I'm going to paraphrase because I don't remember. If you can see your children's children's children, you're a very fortunate person. My mother has 23 great-grandchildren. So according to that, she's a very fortunate person. And how much can be offered in that soothing, you know, kind of way by the personal care of senior family members when they're looking after their juniors. And Prabhupada gives a little extended history on the Subhadra's situation in that same class in Mayapur in 73. Subhadra's son was Abhimanyu. He was only 16 years old. Now, we think 16 years old now to be young, but at this time, a 16-year-old had great responsibility. Abhimanyu was already a skilled fighter, trained by some of the greatest warriors of his time. His wife, Uttara, she was once taught by Arjuna. She was his disciple, his student. Arjuna was teaching her dancing. Those of you that are familiar with the Mahabharata know this story. Virataraj, King Virat's daughter, Uttara. So they were in disguise. So this Virataraj did not know that Arjuna was living in his house. He thought it was a dance teacher. So this daughter of Virat, Uttara, when Arjuna, when it was come to be, sometimes Prabhupada's broken English, when it was come to be known that she was being taught by Arjuna, he requested, "You should marry my daughter." But Arjuna said, "How can I marry your daughter? She is my disciple. She is my student." Just see here the moral platform, the moral fiber here. Beautiful young girls being offered, "You marry her?" "No, no, I can't. I've taught her. She's like my student. I can't possibly do that." "So how can I marry her?" So then he says, "But I promise I shall get her married with my son, although he is not very grown up at this time." So Abhimanyu, of course, was Arjuna's son from the womb of Subhadra. So they were married. Prabhupada says, only 16 years, almost at the same age they were. Fortunately, Uttara became pregnant. Because Abhimanyu went to the battlefield of Kurukshetra and never returned. So Parikshit Maharaj took his birth after the death of his father. He did not see his father. Not only his father, he did not see many others as well from the family due to the battle. Because it was after the battle. Everyone was finished. He was the only survivor. So he was also attempted to be killed by Ashvatthama, by the Brahmastra. But Krishna saved him. So Parikshit Maharaj was born after the death of his fathers, and the grandfathers took care of him. As soon as the child was grown up, all the grandfathers, the Pandavas, they entrusted the kingdom to him, and they left for home. And that will be the next chapter, or chapter two down the road here, you know. So, very sad state of affairs that we find Subhadra is in, you know. She's in a very mentally distressed circumstance. Which is interesting, because why is she in this distressed condition? Due to her personal relationship with the family members, due to that attachment. And at the same time, we find that that attachment for the family members, for their care, for their well-being, is the exact point that brings out the fact that the personality of Godhead is a person, and that he is not impersonal. So it's interesting double side there. So we find these are the three reasons why Krishna decides to stay in Hastinapura. All three very personal reasons. To pacify Yudhishthira, to console and be present for the departure of Bhishma Dev, and to pacify his sister Subhadra. So, reading this, how can we need any further example of the personal, loving, and caring nature of the Lord? All family relatives, all in distress of one kind or another, all soothed and comforted by Krishna. Oh, Bhagavan, these are the actions of the Supreme Person in his most personal form. Bhagavan, the personal form. So, it's interesting to note that while consoling one group, another may have to suffer some pain and distress in the separation from him. Brihad Bhagavatamrita gives a very heartbreaking story of Krishna deciding to stay in Mathura after going there and finishing Kamsa, and sending Nanda Maharaj back to Vrindavan alone without the two transcendental brothers. We find in there that there's a debate of sorts between Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, and the Mathura family, headed by Vasudev, over the subject of Krishna and Balaram returning or not returning to Braj. So Nanda Maharaj, in this conversation, he declares the very idea of not going back to Braj with Krishna, it's not acceptable. He says, I will never believe that you are someone else's son, or that you will go and live somewhere else other than Braj. When you say, I will return, I believe you. Save us. Do not leave us. Go where you like. Stay where you like. We will go with you. Because of my promise, your mother and the people of Braj, they are still alive. If I am hard-hearted and return to Braj without you, they will die in a moment. So Nanda Maharaj is making this personal appeal. Now, it's noted by Sanatana Goswami here that when Akura first appeared in Vrindavan for the purpose of taking the boys to Kamsa's wrestling match, which we all know was a veiled effort by Kamsa to finish the boys, when they agreed to this, the other gopis, the elder gopi ladies, they chastised Jasoda very severely. How are you doing this? You've lost your mind. But Nanda stepped in and he promised everyone, I will not return without Krishna. He'll be safe in my care. Don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. So this is the conversation, the debate going on. At this point, Vasudev steps in. And he admits that, yes, the boys would be very happy to stay in Braj eternally. But it is time for their Upanaya Samskara. And they should go and become brahmacharis and study the Vedas. And then after that, they can return to Braj. Now, at this point, Nanda Maharaj notices the smile creeps onto Krishna's face as Vasudeva is stating this. And he can understand in his heart that this is satisfying to Krishna. This resolve, this is what Krishna wants to do. So, as a loving father, he understands this is the desire of his son, and with tears in his own eyes, he then leaves for Braj, convinced that Krishna will return. Now here, we see this duality, apparently. Krishna staying in Mathura to satisfy his family members, to give them some solace. But by doing so, he's causing some distress to his other family members. Nanda Maharaj, Jasoda Mayi, the residents of Braj. So, but Nanda is convinced, Krishna will keep his word, he'll come back. So, the departure describes how each of the gopas, it says, embrace each other, holding each other's neck in a loving mood. Sometimes when you're very close to someone and you have to say your goodbyes, you know, you kind of grab around the neck and there's a tight embrace there. You know, we've all personally experienced this kind of departure with someone that we love very much. Now here, oh God, and here's what gets you like incredibly weepy. Nanda and the others arrived in Braj. And all of the residents of Braj, you can imagine, they've been waiting. Nanda took Krishna and Balaram and left. And so they're all waiting for Nanda to come back with Krishna and Balaram. And they're all in a very happy mood. There's the caravan. It's coming. And what does Nanda do when they come to greet him? Out of grief and embarrassment, covering his face with a cloth, very morose and crying, he went to his home. He laid on the floor of his room and cried. Is there ever a more pitiful scene written in the history of writing? I mean, it's just absolutely heartbreaking. Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braj, he covers his face, goes to his house, lays on the floor, and cries that he was not able to keep his promise to the residents of Braj. That he was not able to keep them happy by returning with Krishna and Balaram. Now, the Brihat Bhagavatamrita continues to describe the other residents and their reactions, but that's just too much heartbreak for one class. The point is that these types of exchanges are only possible when we have a personal relationship with someone. And these are the words of Shastra. They're clearly emphasizing this type of relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That developing this one-on-one, this is the whole point explained in the Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the different types of primary personal relationships one has with Krishna. Now tomorrow, Manamati is going to continue on with a verse that goes even deeper into this personal exchange of Krishna with his family. But this is the importance that Prabhupada stresses on understanding that God is a person. These relationships described in the writings of the Goswamis, the writings of Vyasadeva and Bhagavata, these are only possible when the principle of personalism is accepted. Now in Mahaprabhu's time, there were personal relationships too. Today we're honoring the disappearance day of Kaliya Krishnadas. Now, Kaliya Krishnadas, Kaviraj Goswami writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Kaliya Krishnadas was one of the principal devotees of Nityananda. He knew nothing other than the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. He's one of the 12 Gopals, the Dvadasa Gopals. You may know from reading the different Chaitanya Lila literatures that 12 particular cowherd boys manifested during Krishna's pastimes to Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And these 12 were particular associates of Nityananda. Some of these 12 had very peculiar activities. Maniketam Ramdas was one of the 12 cowherd boys. And he used to play an amazing flute. And it's mentioned by Kaviraj Goswami that when one saw Maniketam Ramdas, just the vision of him benefited the entire three worlds. So he was greatly respected. Sometimes devotees would offer their obeisances to him and he'd slap them with his flute. There was also one Sundara Gopal. Sundara Gopal used to sometimes climb up on devotees' shoulders during the kirtan. Once he went to the Ganga and pulled a crocodile out by the tail. So many different pastimes like this, these devotees. So these 12 cowherd associates in India were very exemplary, amazing people, but all of them have one similar quality, as it describes here of Kaliya Krishna, that he knew nothing other than the lotus feet of Nityananda, Nittai Pada Kamala. Though Kavi Karnapur confirms this in his Gauragana Desha Deepika, and Vishwanath Chakravarti in his Gauragana Sarupa Tattva Chandrika also confirms the identity of Krishna, Kaliya Krishna, and his complete devotion to Lord Nityananda. It actually, even now, in our current time, the descendants of Kaliya Krishna still live in the hometown where he was born. And the Chaitanya Bhagavat goes a step further and says that Kaliya Krishna is known all throughout the three worlds, and that by knowing him, one can attain Lord Gauranga, simply by remembering him. There are some amazing associates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, simply by mentioning their names, simply by seeing them, simply by hearing their pastimes, one gets love for Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So these are amazing pastimes here. His place of birth is in West Bengal. I love these parts of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada explains, of course, time and place, then how to get there. One goes to such and such a railway station. Within a short distance of the railway station of Katwa is the village of Burdwan. And at that village, there is a sub-village of Kaihata. That village is situated on the old King's Road between Navadweep and Katwa. It is a very small village, and one can go there and visit the birthplace of Kaliya Krishnadas. You can just imagine Prabhupada writing this and thinking in his mind, okay, you get on this bus line, you go there, you get off at that train, take it, and all like that, you know. So wonderful. Near his birthplace is a kund called Nupur Kund. It is said to be where the ankle belt of Raghunandana Thakur, the son of Kandavavasi Mukunda, fell. Kandavavasi, namely indicating that Mukunda was from Kandava, the village of Srikunda, so many wonderful Vaishnavas are from there. And Raghunandana Thakur was one of these. And Raghunandana Thakur would sometimes dance very ecstatically. And once in his dancing and twirling, his ankle bell flew off for some distance and landed at this place, which became known as the Nupur, the place of the bangle. Some people in some stories say that that's actually Nityananda's bangle there, that's his place. But the presiding statement accepted by our acharyas is that it is Raghunandana Thakur. In Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami's Anubhasya commentary, he writes that Kaliya Krishna had two sons, Mohandas and Gaurangadas. And it's their descendants that still live there. And there's a great celebration held on the disappearance day of Kaliya Krishna. How wonderful it would be, in the same manner of reading Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita purports and taking, you know, the train line and the bus line and all to these places, to be there on the days when Prabhupada indicates that these festivals go on. You know, it's what a wonderful way to spend one's life. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami further explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Kala Krishna, he was also known as, he had two names, Kala Krishna and Kaliya Krishna, and that he was the best amongst all Vaishnavas. Imagine that, the best amongst all Vaishnavas. Now when Janava Mata was invited by Narottam Srinivas and Shamananda to come to the festival, part of her entourage included Kala Krishna. And they arrived there with many, many devotees and took part in the different festivals there. It should also be noted, because sometimes there's devotees that have similar names, that this Kala Krishna mentioned here, Kali Krishna, is not the same Kala Krishna that accompanied Mahaprabhu to South India. That's an entirely different personality with an entirely different storyline. So in this way, it's nice, even if there's very little biographical information about a personality of Mahaprabhu's time, it's very nice to speak about them and think about their impact on our present activities as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and to remember them. And in this way, try and get a glimpse of the appreciation for Nityananda and Chaitanya that these devotees had. So we'll finish there. It's just near time. If anyone has any comments or questions or corrections, we'll make an effort to answer those. Yes, Manamati.
Is he Kaliya Krishnadas? Is he the same one, uncle of Raghunath Das, who would go and get the water when Gundicha Marjana was going on, and he would collect the water from
Mahaprabhu's feet?
Yeah.
Hmm.
What was his name? Was
I it? Don't believe he is the same. Otherwise, with all the references here to Chaitanya Bhagavad, Bhaktisiddhanta Sanabhasyan, Chaitanya Charitamrita, mm-hmm. Chaitanya Charitamrita itself, and Gorgona Desha Deepika, I think it would have been mentioned if
that,
he was part of that pastime.
Mm-hmm.
We can double check that later in the day, but as I mentioned, there are many times several devotees with a similar mm-hmm. name.
It started with K, you know, that's how the mind can be.
Yeah,
it started with
yeah.
K. But
now, possibly because that Krishna Das was there in Jagannath Puri, and the Krishna Das that went with Mahaprabhu to South India was sent from Jagannath Puri. Maybe they're the same. I'd have to investigate that. I couldn't give a definitive answer at this point. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for the class.
All right, well, we'll finish there. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.